Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Rod Chalk.
Well, welcome back. It's time just to grab your Bibles with me. I'll just give you a couple of seconds if you have them somewhere just to grab them. I really want us to dive into the Word of God together today. But before we do, while you're grabbing your Bibles, here's what I'd like us to do. I'm going to just do a little bit myself right now, but it's so important in this season that we recognize that you have a voice. I think it's one of the most essential things that you will find in this season is that you have a voice. And what we do with that voice is very, very important to God. The way we use that voice is very, very important. And this is a season that, again, I found it remarkable this week when I saw a family. They just decided that they were going to make cards for a bunch of people. And they spent time, not, you know, there's nothing wrong with buying cards to be able to do this, but they spent time with their kids making these cards. And you know what? They were just such a blessing as they went around and social distance, but went around and just brought joy. And their voice, even though that may not have been physically heard with their voice audibly, but their voice came through. What they were saying was coming through, even as I saw it posted on Facebook, and it was not posted for, if you know them, it's not posted for any glory to them. It was posted simply as something to say, hey, let's spread joy everywhere we go. So here's what I'm going to do right now. While we're sitting here, grab your phones, grab whatever it is you would use to normally do this. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now. Now, if you're watching this video afterwards, you can still do it. Don't just sit there watching me. You can do this as well. Ask Holy Spirit, who should I text right now an encouraging word? Who should I text right now? So go ahead, take out your phone, you know, or however you do this, and your tablet, whatever you're on. I know some of you might be on something, using something to be able to watch this, but take a second. Say, Holy Spirit, who do you want me to encourage? And then I'm going to, as you do it, I'm going to, really, I feel like I have a word for Dean Gillard this morning. And I felt like as I was walking around, the Lord had just put you so on my heart this morning that I heard him beginning to say to me, Rod, make sure you tell him that I'm with him right now. Make sure that you tell him that over this next year, as he makes some radical decisions, that I'm with him, and that every step that he takes, that I'm right beside him, I'm right with him, and that there was such a joy, Dean, that I felt when he was telling me that he is so proud of you, he is so with you, and he is so ready to begin to help you into this next season, whatever this next season looks like, whatever this is. But that God is with you and he is ready. It's like, this is what I saw. I saw him telling heaven to get ready because there was going to be a dispatch of angels when you began to pray. And so I just encourage you that whatever you're planning, whatever the Lord has been putting upon your heart, that he's with you and that he's ready to do this. So those of you, again, just get your phone and spend a few minutes. Just text somebody an encouraging word, because in this season right now, it's pretty easy to do something. It's pretty easy to sit on the couch right now or sit in your chair and not do anything. It's really easy, you know, and especially with how many services are being broadcast, how many things are there, how many things we're being asked to do at different times. But can I encourage you that you have a voice, and I encourage you to use it, and just for the glory of God. Well, amen. Well, if you've got your Bibles let's get started. Open up to Psalms 23. And one of the things that the Lord has given me for the past few years, and those of you that are a part of Antioch, you will know that I have been saying over and over again that we need to embrace the scriptures that are familiar to us and move aside familiarity and begin to dig deep into those scriptures and into those passages. And it's been interesting that the Lord has been giving me this for a while now, and yet sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, that when we read the story, maybe it's like the kid's story today, which was Daniel in the lion's den, and that it's hard sometimes to say, well, I know that. I know that story. I've read that so many times. But it's so important to dive deep into the Word of God, because as those, you know, the series that we're doing right now is the strong and courageous, and there's attributes that the strong and courageous have We use a word around here called mighty ones, and it's not the fact that we think that we're all that in a bag of chips, but we know that the God of the universe lives inside of us, and therefore we are mighty ones, because even in my weaknesses, God declares me to be a mighty one with him, and that we can begin to see things happen and see things change. Things in our family that need to change, those that we know that need healing right now, to begin to bring healing and restoration into their lives. And what I really want you to do is I want you to dive deep as someone. See, to me, I'll say it this way. Someone who is strong and courageous has to know their God. If you're looking for a title for my sermon today, the strong and courageous know their God. Because if we don't know who God is, sometimes other people want to attribute actions to our God. They want to say, well, your God did this or your God did that. And yet, if you don't know who your God is, if you don't know the characteristics of your God, and we know that we can find the characteristics of our God all throughout his names. And every time in scripture where he introduces himself, especially when we see the Old Testament, and he introduces himself as Jehovah Jireh, for example, or he would introduce himself as Yahweh. There is so much depth in the names of God. But right now, I want you to look just with me for a little bit of someone that I believe was a mighty one, someone that I believe was so strong and courageous. David, he was the shepherd boy David. He was the warrior king David. He's the psalmist David. This man, the Bible says, loved God with all his heart, that he was a man after God's heart. So what happened? What is it that's so encountered with him? What was the encounters, maybe I should say, what were the encounters that he had with God? And we notice that as a young boy, a young shepherd boy, and he spent so much time with the flock, even when the prophet came and was looking to crown him. Well, crowning would come later, but anoint him, sorry, is the right word. As king, he was off in the fields, far away, tending to the flock. See, I think that we as the strong and courageous, we have to know who our Father God is. But we also have to know him as shepherd. And so for a little while, I want to dive deep. So if you have your Bible with you right now, we're going to look, and I'm going to sometimes refer to the Passion Translation, and sometimes I'll refer to the New King James Version in this. But if the very first verse, if we just start there, again, I love this. The first three, four words, we could spend so much time in here. The Lord is my shepherd. I think of that as a declarative statement for David, that he's making sure that everybody knows in this, that this shepherd that I'm going to tell you about, this shepherd, he's my shepherd. There is this sense of that he is not ashamed of who God is, and he is not ashamed to say that I'm his. And it's one of the things that I want to walk us through right now when we see these three words that are in that just that little passage. It says, again, the Lord is my shepherd. I think it's no coincidence that in describing God, when he describes him as shepherd, he first calls him Lord. And I think that there's this, if I could just be bold in this and say that unless he's your Lord, I'm not sure you'll fully experiencing him as the shepherd of your life. It's so very important that he is Lord of our lives. And it's one thing, and it's so very, very important that he's the savior of your life. Without Jesus, there is no hope. There is no hope for salvation without him. But there is something different than knowing him as Savior and having your sins forgiven, to know him as Lord. To know him as Lord requires everything from me. It doesn't require that, it's not just like I can add God to the other gods or to my life just as part. That when he is my Lord, it is literally, here's all of me, God. Brings me back to many, many years ago when I was in Taiwan and I was doing an internship there. And I remember walking around, I remember talking to some people, even as they would come in and we would teach English as a second language, and some of them knew English well and others didn't, but we'd spend some time and I would talk to people about the Lord and talk and evangelize, and they would sometimes look at me and say, well, I could add this Jesus. I mean, I could add him to my gods. He sounds like a really great God. Let me add him. And in those moments, I'd never really experienced that before, but I recognized that in those moments that I had to say to them, that he is the only God. That we can't add him to our lives, that we have to give him our lives, and there is something so very different. Lordship is giving Jesus every decision that you will ever make. You know, lordship, I'll just read what I wrote here for a second. No, it doesn't mean that we pray and intercede over every decision. For example, some people do, I know, but I don't pray of which parking spot I should go into. I just don't do that. But I tell you what I do is that if I go into a parking spot and I feel like the Lord says, no, don't park here, this isn't good, then I'll move. But see, God has my heart, and I know that I've gone through this journey, and you might be walking through this journey too, of, Lord, in the midst of all of this going on, I feel like you're wanting more of me. Really, I would say, Lord, you're wanting all of me. Can I encourage you today that God loves you so much, but he wants all of you. You know, for me, it's something where, you see, when I think of the old man has died, he doesn't exist anymore. And this sense of the new man is, for me, I live in Christ. I live with God in this. He in me and I in him. And every decision I make of everything, I'm saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do? You know, let me read a few scriptures to you. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I think of Psalms 103. It says, know that the Lord, he is God, that it is he who has made us and we are his. We are his. Think of Romans 14:8. It says, for if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Goes on, it says it again in Isaiah 43:1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says it this way. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I think of when you think of sheep and you think of a shepherd, it was very important who your shepherd was. You know, I've seen, we've wrote curriculum, we've done all kinds of things about in this Psalm 23, and there's a story that I wrote, and really the title of, or the character in the story is the sheep, and his name is, get ready, his name is Walla Walla Bim Bam. Now, I know that's a great big huge name, okay? And some of you that are with us, you'll know who I'm talking about. But this particular sheep was left out in the middle of a field, was hurt, and abandoned. You see, when he was part of this other flock, the shepherd that was over him didn't care. Didn't care, really just didn't care about him, just sort of stuck him out in the field and said whatever. And really, the sheep, you know, there's a story that goes along of the sheep looking through the fence and saying, oh, I wish I was a part of that flock. Or I wish that that was my shepherd. See, this is what David knew. He knew God in this way, that he knew him as shepherd, one that would take care of him. And he declared it with all his heart, Lord, you are my shepherd. And then he used this word, this phrase, I shall not want. Now, this is not something where it's like a genie in the bottle where we just ask God for whatever we want. It's not what it's like. But I tell you what it is like. It's something where we recognize, let me just read what I wrote. It's something that we have more of an understanding that our shepherd is always working for our good. Let me ask you something here today. Do you believe that? Do you believe that your shepherd is always working for your good? It's something that as the strong and courageous, we have this understanding that, my God, it's more than just a song that we sing that talks about the fact of even when I can't see him, I know you're working for me, Lord. Even when things maybe aren't going so well, God, I know that you are working behind the scenes. I know you are working all things for my good. You know, it's something when I think of this, when I think of the fact of the word want, in that particular place in Scripture, it has this understanding more of contentment rather than the sense of just asking for whatever you're looking for. It has the sense of that when I belong to this shepherd, there's such great contentment on my life. I have been there. I have caught myself. I don't know about you, but I've caught myself being not contented, to having myself feeling, in fact, the very opposite. And I recognize that I have got my mind focused on other things, and I have forgotten who my good shepherd is. I have looked at the situations. I have looked at the, maybe we would say the waves, the storms, the things that are happening, and I have forgotten just for a minute who my God is. You see, the strong and courageous, we burn it into our hearts who our God is. And he is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with Jesus is not based on what he can do for me. It's completely based on what he's already done for me. See, it's kind of like this. In times of trouble, when things aren't going so well, when maybe, I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have been there where I can't pay the mortgage or my rent or I can't. There have been times in our lives where we have been transitioning and things are we've been in complete upheaval. And I know what it's like to have to walk into a food bank and ask for help. I know what it's like to have had expectations that things were going to be this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, and things just didn't turn out those ways. You been there? But here's the key. In those times, and really in the times that we're in right now, these are not the times to turn on God. They are the times to turn to God. It is so very important in my life that I recognize in these times that God's not doing this to me, that God is with me and that he is for me. And my shepherd, he's taking care of me. Even if I can't see it right now, I know he's taking care of me. See, sometimes we have to take disappointments and we have to take discouragements and we had to take situations and we've got to say this. We're not going to stick our heads in the sand and just say, well, you know, it's all good. No, we're going to look at this and say, this doesn't line up with who my God is. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to serve him now. It doesn't mean I'm going to be angry with him. In the middle of this, no matter what's going on, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to worship him. See, there is something, and I tell you, it's not natural. It's supernatural. I tell you, if there have been times in my life, and I have been serving the Lord for a long, long, long time, a very long time, there are moments in my life where I have to sit there and go, Rodney, come on. You know your God is working for you. And I have to set my feet and firmly begin to believe my God is working for me. See, there is this I better go on here because our time is flying by. That's only one verse. If we look at verse number 2, it says this: He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. You know, if we were to look at that verse and we were to say, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Don't get this in your idea that He's forcing us to do anything, because God's not like that. That scripture is not talking about the fact of Him pinning you down and making you stop, although sometimes I think that He would probably like to do that even in my own life. Are you like me, that sometimes you're a runner? Sometimes that when you turn around, and I don't mean a physical runner, okay? I mean the fact that in those situations, sometimes when something happens, you don't realize it, but you're just doing. You're doing, and you're doing, and you're doing, and you're doing, because you don't want to stop for a second. And hear actually what God is going to say. He loves you. He's for you. And see, for sheep, when we think of sheep and we think of the shepherd, sheep need certain things to be able to lie down. In fact, sheep are known. This is what sheep are known for. Wrote this down. Sheep are very restless animals. It takes very little to get them frantic. They start to run for hardly any reason, and they keep running until they can't remember why they're running. Sound familiar? See, in all of us, there is this sense, though, of being able to say, Lord, help me. I need to rest. I need to lie down in your green pastures. I need to rest in you. And there is something that when we look actually at sheep and shepherding, begin to go through Philip Keller's book on the 23rd Psalm and find some illustrations and some understanding of what it's like to be a shepherd. And here are 4 things that are needed for sheep to actually lie down. So this is what the shepherd has to produce, or the shepherd has to give his sheep for them to be able to lie down in the natural. They have to be completely free from fear. Now that is, the sheep have to know and understand that their shepherd is there. So they've got to, one of the greatest things is that the sheep can be all frantic, can be running everywhere, and all of a sudden the shepherd steps onto that field. He can be so far away and the sheep see him. There he is. And they run to the shepherd. And it changes the entire atmosphere of the flock when the shepherd is there. You know, it's interesting that the Bible says 365 times or more, it says, fear not. It's actually the most used phrase in Scripture, fear not. Because God knows us. He knows that situations come, and sometimes instead of, I don't know if you're like me, but instead of responding, we react. You ever been there? Instead of responding correctly, we sometimes react. And fear is something that is reactionary. And it causes us to react even in ways that we don't want to. But there is something about spending time with the shepherd, those sheep, spending so much time with the shepherd, that his very presence changes their atmosphere. It's no different to us, no different for us, that in the midst of the hurry and some of us might be at home right now. It's funny to see some of the parents. They're so creative right now and having to get so creative with their kids being home for such a long time. There's others of us, though, that really haven't seen a lot of change, that we're busy, and some people are even busier than they were before. But no matter what, and even some of these parents, they're now, with their kids being home, they're busier than they've ever been before. It's so essential in these times to spend time with the Lord, because God will help you. It's something to say, Lord, what is it that I need right now? Holy Spirit, what is it that I need right now? Holy Spirit, I'm a little afraid of this right now. And see, it's not, we as Christians, we don't just stick our heads in the sands and we say, well, we don't, I'm not afraid, 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 I'm not afraid. We begin to say, Lord, I'm afraid, but you make me strong. Lord, this is a concern of mine. You make me strong, Lord. I declare that I am strong in you. And see, those are the things. So the first one is free from fear. I'll go through these other three quickly so that we can move on to our next verse. But it's free from friction amongst the flock. So interesting. The sheep have to be free from tension and rivalry and competition, cruel competition. The third one is this, that free from torment, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. For them, it's these aggravating flies that are around them. They won't stay still. They won't lie down. They won't eat. They won't rest. They won't do anything when there's torment. And the last one is free from hunger. The sheep need to be fed to focus, to be able to be at peace, and to be at rest, and to be able to just simply lie down. You know, one of the most amazing things is our God does all of those for us. If you're struggling right now with fear, just say, Lord, help. Holy Spirit, help me. If you're struggling with friction and tension and those things going on around you, it's time. It's in those moments. Remember, we turn to God. The strong and courageous, we admit what our needs are, and we turn to God for help. You know, whether or not all of these things come from our good shepherd. The next part of that verse says, he leads me beside the still waters. And I love this part. You see, I did not know that sheep can go, if it's not really, really hot, and this would not apply then to those continents that are so hot, and the sheep still, they thrive still in that particular environment. But in the places where it's not really, really hot, sheep can go over a month without drinking at a pool of water. It's crazy. But see, there's a secret involved. The reason that they can go so long is because sheep are early risers. And when it talks about the fact that he leads me beside the still waters, it's something there that God has a place for us to go to. He has, for all of us, he has this place of stillness that we can drink him in, and that we can drink from his word, and we can spend that time with him. But it so requires us to stay still just for a few minutes. But in this particular circumstance, when we see that sheep are early risers, and they get up in the morning, and immediately the shepherd's up early, and they're leading them out into the field. And they love to eat the grass that's heavy with dew. Can you see the imagery? Can you see the rich imagery? They actually can get enough water from the dew on the grass in the early morning. You know, for us, it's so very important in these seasons right now to have those early morning times with God. You might say, Pastor Rod, I'm not a morning person. If you knew me, you'd know I'm not really a morning person. It is when I get up and I'm awake and I'm showered, I am very productive in the morning, but I'm not really an early, early riser. But you know what? I know that when I do this, when I rise early in the morning, especially when it costs me something, especially when it's difficult for me, there's just this sweetness in his presence. There's this sweetness in his word. Can I encourage you today to take a time, even if you're absolutely exhausted, Pastor Rod, you don't understand, I just worked a 12-hour shift. Take time to be with him, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 3 says this. It says, he restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, there is the part I want to focus on here is the fact that he restores my soul. And if you could turn into Psalms 42 and 11, and it's the first part of this verse, and it says, why are you cast down, O my soul? David's talking to himself. You know, you might think I'm a little crazy, but I talk to myself in that way. I say, Rod, come on. Why are you downcast? Come on, get up. Let's go. God has got something great planned for this day. And I tell you, it's not every single day I'm able to utter those words. Sometimes I got to grab myself by the shirt and say, come on, Rod, get up. We're going. And there's something, though, about once you start moving. But this verse is, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within? Hope in God. I didn't know sheep could be cast down. It's a word in shepherding circles, shall we say. Shepherding circles. I don't know any shepherding circles. But there is a word within them that talk about a sheep being cast. And what this means is the sheep has fallen on its back and it can't get up. It's just completely right on its back, feet up in the air, and it is kicking with everything it's got. In fact, it's getting more frantic and more frantic and more frantic and more frantic. And this sheep is cast. It can't basically get up. The shepherds in this, when Philip Keller was talking about this, he talked about the fact that oftentimes when a sheep is missing, that he counts the sheep and goes through, they're missing. Oftentimes that's what's happened. Out in the middle of the field, somewhere where they were, a sheep has been cast. And so he'll look out over that field and he'll leave all those sheep that are good and they're there, and he will go after the one and he will look through that whole field searching for the one that is cast. Reminds you of anything? Jesus' example to us about leaving the 99 and going after the one. See, this is who we are. The strong and courageous, we go after the one because we value the one. The strong and courageous, that we believe that God has a word for that one that might be cast down, that one that might be discouraged. Now, these sheep are not, they're not depressed. They're not discouraged in that way, but they've fallen on their backs and they can't seem to get up in that moment. In fact, I kind of thought it was a little humorous, but I know it's not funny, but it was still humorous to think of a sheep on his back and he can't get up. And I'm like, just roll over, just roll over. But this is such a serious thing that if the shepherd doesn't find them soon, they actually could die from this. It's a serious thing in that part of the world or in that occupation. But it's kind of interesting to me how sheep get cast. There are different things. For example, their wool, they could be laden down. Their wool is too thick. It's not cared for. And when they're not caring for the shepherd isn't caring for that particular sheep in that way, and their wool can get so heavy that they can't turn and get back up. And there are other reasons as well, but this one I found to be really interesting is that sheep often has found a soft spot, a little gully, little dip in the ground, and he's nestled into that soft spot in the hollow in the ground, and then he's got on his back and he can't get up. See, to the Christians, we sometimes get weary of the fight. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You can get weary of the fight. I wrote it this way. We get weary of the fight. We want to just find an easy place to just curl up and quit. Quit having to believe so intensely. Quit having to believe in the best in people. Maybe quit having to fight at all. And there's this sometimes this quit that comes on us, and in that moment, that's when we can find ourselves even getting cast down. You know, I look at this, and sometimes as Christians, have you been there? The things are difficult. And sometimes when we look at this, we get this idea. Even sometimes we get this idea from that first scripture that I shall not want is that God's always going to give it to me on easy street. But see, that's not the way it is. God loves you so much. He is there with you. He is not leaving you alone in all of this. But even in the difficult times, see, here's the thing for me. And for all of us and for you, say it with me. I expect my God is moving for me. I expect my God is doing something for me. And, you know, when I think of Matthew 11:28, the scripture says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For your yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, that word there, though, yoke, is so interesting. That yoke there means coupling. It means being together. The reason it's easy and light is because we are yoked to him, taking us right back to that word of lordship. That we are yoked to him. That we, whenever something goes on, instead of saying, oh my, and I tell you, I've been there. Man, sometimes I get so frustrated with myself after being saved for so long that sometimes my mouth runs off. Maybe you're not like that. But something will happen and my mind wants to think, well, the worst things. But in that moment, it's like, no, my God is working behind the scenes. My God is going to do something in the midst of all of this. You see, but this relationship, this coupling, this moment when things are tough and it's you and Jesus, it's you and God. And you know what? Lord, we're going to do this. You're going to do this. I'm with you. You're with me together. We are yoked together. Your strength is my strength. Your strength is my strength. We can do this in you. Lord, we can do this in your name. We can do this by your strength. And you begin to know that God is with you. There is this coupling in that verse, but it's saying, come to me. So if you are struggling, I encourage you to do that, exactly that, is to go to the Lord. Sometimes we have to go to the Lord even with a friend. Sometimes we need to phone somebody and say, you know what, I'm just struggling. Can you help me? Would you pray with me? And we'll be there. If you need somebody to pray with you, please just text us, call us. We'd be happy to pray and spend some time with you. The next part of that verse, or the next verse says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The part that I want to focus on here, and I don't have time to go through it all, but the part that I want to focus is on is the valley of the shadow of death. It is very important that we read all the words here, because it says here that though I walk through, doesn't say though I sit there, dig a hole, and stay in the valley of death. It says though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And in those moments, it says, I wrote here that it's not the valley where we go to die. It's the valley that we go through. And if you understand shepherding, where this comes from is to get to the high table, to get to those plains that were high up into the mountains that were protected, and the fields were so amazing. And they called them the tablelands, right? And that those tablelands have been set out for those sheep, and that they are such good food in those tables that are set out there. But to get to there, you got to go through the valleys. And in those valleys, there are attackers. There's all things that are going on for these shepherds. And those shepherds are there and they have the rods in their hands. And they are so skilled with protection. And they lay down their life for their sheep. This is where David gets it from. That's how come when he turns around and goes up against Goliath, that he was the strong and courageous, because he'd been out in the field and he knew that God was with him, but he was skilled at what he did, and he put his hand coupled with the Lord's hand, with God's, with Jehovah at that time's hand, and he would protect his sheep. God is with us. This valley is just for a momentary time, a momentary season. And it can lead us to higher ground. It can lead us in ways that we find that God is so prepared for what's ahead. Let me just go on to verse 5 here. You prepare, and this is the last verse 5 and verse 6. I'll do them together. For you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The part I want to focus on there is you anoint my head with oil. And I had no idea that this is what this meant. No clue. You learn this psalm when you're very young. But the reason that they're talking about, this is David talking, but he is now talking as one of the sheep. Not necessarily as one of the shepherds, as one of the sheep. You anoint my head with oil. Because what would happen in those times is when they would get up to those tablelands and they would get up to the summers, and this was there was so much to eat, so much good that was there. But here's where the problem came. The summer also meant fly season. And there was these aggravating, pesty flies. They were called nasal flies, or some called them nose flies. And this is going to be a little gross, so hang on. But these flies would come and they would bzzz all around their heads. And these sheep would be tormented. And they would run all over the field trying to get away from these flies. because the flies wanted to land upon their nose, their nasal cavities, and to begin to lay eggs in them. I know, gross, 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 gross. But the idea is then these legs would hatch and they would go up into their brains and all of these weird things would begin to happen. And they would literally, these sheep would go and butt their heads against any kind of trees and rocks, whatever they could find just to get the pain out, the aggravation out. And so all of a sudden, you know, here's the shepherd led them up to this beautiful tableland, a table set before me in the presence of my enemies. So all of these flies that's coming in, this aggravation, these assaults upon them, you see, in those moments, they wouldn't go out into the fields anymore and eat. They would go and try to find a bush to hide in, to try to get away from these flies as much as possible. And you see, then what was happening is that because the moms were not eating, then the babes were not beginning to get their milk. And that basically the whole flock was just beginning to degrade because even though they were in the midst, they were right there in the middle of these tablelands, just amazing feed. They couldn't feed because of the torment that was going on. And what that verse talks about, you anoint my head with oil. Different places around the continents do it differently of what they mix in the oil, but they all use oil. And they would take the oil with the sheep and they would pour it on their heads and they would pour it all and it would smear it all over their nose. And it would stop these flies because they would not want to basically to be around this. Whatever it was that was happening in this, they would immediately leave these sheep alone. And this one shepherd talks about the fact that the difference was unbelievable. That one minute they were running around everywhere trying to get away from it. We weren't eating. There was a problem. The flock was going down in weight count and all of these things. And then once they applied the oil, peace came into the group. Once they applied the oil, peace began to come into the group. And the moms began to stop running everywhere and begin to eat. And the babes then had milk and that the lambs were eating and they were developing weight. And all of these things were beginning to happen. It's so much like us. See, in the midst of all of these things, you know, the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you today that no matter what's going on, if you've maybe got a couple of those pesky things happening, those aggravating things happening, and say, Holy Spirit, help. Holy Spirit, help. Anoint me today. Pour upon me today. Really, in our vernacular, in our words, it's Holy Spirit, fill me today. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your strength. And the last verse really says it all in this environment, that in this time that we're living in right now. Verse 6 says this, and this is in the Passion Translation. It says, so why would I fear the future? For I am being pursued only by your goodness and unfailing love. Then afterwards, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence and be forever with you. But so why would I fear the future? Can I encourage you that your good shepherd is watching over you? We have such a good, good God. We sing this song of Good Father. I just love that song. Burns into my mind as the strong and courageous, who my God is. So my God is watching out for me. I am unashamedly saying that he is my Lord and my Savior. That I've set my firm faith and my belief today that no matter what's going on, that my God is working behind the scenes for me. I believe that devotions are not something that I do to check off a box, but I do them to be replenished in the presence of God. That I don't need easy street to praise him and to worship him. And that although some of us may be walking through valleys, we're walking through them. This is not the final say. And lastly, this, Holy Spirit, come and fill us today. Come and fill us afresh and new. So would you just sit there just for a second? With your own words, just say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come as I just close here. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me today with your fullness. Fill me today with your presence. Fill me today with your peace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In your name, amen. So I encourage you today that the strong and courageous know their God and know their God is working for them. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.